I think what we ended up doing is improvising. We'd have the point of the scene, we would improvise on weekends at night, I would then have it typed up, I would edit it, and then we'd go over it again in the morning, we'd block and we'd shoot, right?
Every morning.
Every morning we'd sit
every
in the trailer
morning.
And figure out what we were going to say. I remember it.
And this was just your first major part in the film. You had done the Last Tycoon before this.
So weird is from Last Tycoon, I was working with Harold Pinter, and Ily Kazan directed it, and it was Sam Spiegel. It was a real old Hollywood kind of thing. And you weren't allowed to change one phrase, one breath, one anything. And here I'm like 19, thinking, oh, well, this is the way Hollywood is. And I went slam into this. I was like over my head. I didn't know. And they were like, oh, maybe let's go to the trailer and mess around with this scene and not get a shot off till lunchtime. I'm going, hell. It was pretty overwhelming. But I've since learned how to do that.
And Dustin and Harry, can you talk a little bit about the research that you guys did to get into these characters being professional thieves? Because the film is in so many ways is going against the stereotype of these kind of characters that you're used to seeing in movies.
Well, there was Acapulco weed, there was Maui weed.
We visited Folsom Prison with a sign on the front that abandon all hope, ye who enter here. It was an older prison. Then we went to San Quentin, and the warden's assistant escorted us, took us on a tour of San Quentin. And we got to the gas chamber, and I asked the warden's attendant, I said, have you ever sat in that chair? And he said, no. I said, has the warden ever sat in it? Not to my knowledge. So I go in and I'm not... What do you call it?
It was A and B. There was two chairs. It was A and B.
I went in and sat down in the gas chamber. Dustin, meanwhile, is all the way down the hall. and that was the only research I remember us doing.
But you had Eddie Bunker on the film, on the set.
Oh, yeah, we had John Carlin, who's out here. He was.
John, are you?
John. Here he is. Yeah.
John Carlin, is a former bank robber.
Stand up.
He's a giant bank robber.
He told us how to rob a bank and a jewelry store. I think. Eddie Bunker, of course, came. And who else?
Well, I was on it, I guess, about 2 years before they forced me to start shooting. That's when, you know, I asked Lulu to save the situation. But for those 2 years, I hung out with Bunker and his friends and got to know convicts and ex-convicts and actually got into San Quentin at one time and was smuggled in as a convict, believe it or not, and spent a whole day there with my knit cap and sunglasses, what they wore, and I was not discovered, and got as close to the reality as I could, and I found these people very interesting people, and Lulu and I had long talks about these people and how close they are to artists in a way, in a strange way, because they are, you know, rebels and they are outside of society and they're just puncturing society in a different way than artists are. But I mean, there's the same kind of aggression, I guess you would say, in terms of dismantling, you know, what the duplicity that exists in society, in terms of what's legal, what's illegal, what's ethical, what's unethical, who gets away with stuff, who doesn't get away with stuff, you know, and so we really went at it with Eddie Bunker, very bright man. I mean, here is a guy who was brought up in, you know, foster homes, what's it called? Youth, I forget what it's called, John.
Huh?
What?
Why? Youth Authority.
Yeah, Youth Authority, and was one of the youngest guys in, you know, admitted into Quentin. He was 18. And that was his life, and here he had written this book there, and there's 150 people on a movie, you know, literally doing what he, you know, what came out of him, because he was an artist. He was an artist slash criminal, or a criminal slash artist, and there was an affinity between that. And I think Ulu and I, we and Harry and you know, Gary Boosie and with John, we had one order of business, and that was to do something as accurate as we could do. And I guess the underlying thing of it was, the threat of it was, is that that this character Eddie Bunker had an identity inside the joint. You know, he was well thought of. We had a backstory for him. He was probably ahead of the gambling, and you know, had a life. And then when he got out, he was an extra. And in a sense, the movie is about identity, and that was his identity. And there's in a kind of criminal world, there in the convict world, there's a real, at least it was then, I don't know how it is now, it's different, but there was a real sense of, there was a dignity, and we tried to, you know, not condescend, and we tried to find that reality that was close to our own, I think, as artists. And there's a, you know, we're trying to get close to it. Ulu and I shared one thing, and I'll shut up, is that I said to Eddie, I was trying to understand him, because I felt he was an artist, and there was a separation between us, obviously, you know, and I asked him, I said, what's the difference between us? I try to find it. I said, so let's say you're... first thing he said to me, I says, I can't play this part. I said, they fucked me in the ass the first week if I was in the joint. I says, yeah, they wouldn't mess with him. He says, no, it's not about that. He says, he said, you just put a pipe underneath your pillow and somebody starts to go for you, just try to kill him. And you get... nobody will mess with you after that. But the thing he said that really, two things that he said with me, it was some of the best stuff that I shared with Ulu that I've ever was able to use just as an actor. And that was one thing he said is, you know, I have to tell you that I grew up in the system, as he called it. He said, it's nothing personal. He says, but when I'm with you or anyone, he says, I'm thinking of two things constantly. One is what I can steal off you, and I'm looking at everything, you know, watch, whatever, and I'm thinking of what I can kill you with if I have to. There's a lamp near you, there's a telephone, whatever, and it's constantly in my mind, those two things. And I told Ulu that, and everything that we did, I don't know if you remember, but especially in the scenes with Emmett Walsh at the beginning, that was what the actors call the behavior. That was a constant thing. You just think of those two things, and it alters you a little. You're just constantly, and you know, the other person doesn't know what you're thinking about. What can I kill you with? What can I steal from you? And then the second thing was, I said I was trying to just understand it as best as I could, an essence of him, I guess. I said, so you're robbing a bank. I say you go and you don't, said you don't want to hurt anybody, and that's what Harry's doing. He's motherfuckers get down because you want to scare people, you want to get them to lie down, you don't want to hurt them. You want to scare them so you don't have to hurt them. And I said, and then let's say a shot goes off because there's some bank guard that's not listening, and you don't even try to kill him, you just warn him and you fire a shot and it goes out the bank window. And I'm just thinking this up as, I'm saying that, and then the mother, let's say she's coming walking down the sidewalk with a carriage with a baby in it. And 5 o'clock news, because he said that was one of the best parts. It's like an actor getting good reviews. He says, you watch the 5 o'clock news and you see the job that you did. And he says, there's no greater high than that. And seeing what you got away with. I mean, so it was a lot we could identify with. But I said, on the 5 o'clock news, they said that that bullet went through the window, hit the baby carriage, and killed the baby. I'm just making this up. I said, what do you feel? And Eddie said, what do you mean? We were just sitting privately. I said, do you feel responsible for that? You feel bad? He said, yeah, man. It's, you know, shouldn't. I said, do you feel responsible? He said, no. I said, why? And he said, and like any bright person, they have the ability to rationalize in order to survive, like all of us. And you rationalize yourself in a dishonest way sometimes, but it's a way to survive. He says, well, that mother should know better. She shouldn't walk by a bank with her baby. She'd be across the street with that carriage.